I am Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to the podcast of Middays with Susie Larson.
It's only just a matter of...
This is an encore presentation of Middays with Susie Larson. Well, welcome to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. So honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to meeting you here every single day to hopefully bring you conversations that inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that even heighten your awareness of His very tangible presence in your life. And if you haven't figured this out about me by now, one of my love languages is when you chime in and text in on the conversation. I want to get to know you. I want to know what God's talking to you about. I want to know what topics resonate with you. I want you to text in throughout the conversation every single day. Here's the number, 877-933-2484. Well, when you think about it, every single one of us has felt overwhelmed from one time to another, you know, and some live in that place and made me wonder, is there another way to live in this fast-paced, chaotic culture, sending us 1,000 contrary messages? Is it possible to live at a pace of grace and live with a peace in our heart that God promises? Well, my guest today says, absolutely, it is ours to have in Christ Jesus. And says, in fact, she says, how about instead of being overwhelmed by performance, we become overwhelmed by purpose? How about instead of being overwhelmed by appearance, we become overwhelmed by actual beauty? And what if we, instead of being overwhelmed by image pressures, we became overwhelmed by image bearing? And I love this one. What about instead of being overwhelmed by present suffering, we were overwhelmed by an eternal perspective? This is what we're talking about today. And here to join me is Kay Wills Wima. She's author of the book, Not the Boss of Us, Putting Overwhelmed in Its Place in a Do-All, Be-All World. And I'll get her on in just a moment. But first, a quick announcement. We are a listener-supported ministry. And if you've never supported Faith Radio, but you feel like you benefit from the ministry, would you consider being part of the giving family? You can give safely and securely online at myfaithradio.com. And if you're already giving, I just want to say a special thank you, because we absolutely couldn't do this without you, and we wouldn't want to. I want every one of you, though, be a radio missionary. If you're ministered to by the content that you hear day in and day out on Faith Radio, tell your friends about us and share us with a friend. Either way, let's spread the good news together. Thanks so much for being part of our Faith Radio family. Well, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Kay Wills Wima is a former White House staffer, international banker, and entrepreneur. She knows what it is to live stressed, and yet she's found a way to live with peace at a pace that she can keep. This is my friend Kay. Welcome to the show, dear Kay.
Oh, thanks for having me. It is always a pleasure getting to chat with you, Susie.
I love our conversations. Looking forward to this one as well. So let's start here. You know I love to start by talking scripture, and I know you love God's Word, Kay. Is there a passage you've been thinking about these days?
You know, the one that just keeps coming to mind, I even said it to a friend yesterday just as a reminder, because I think for whatever reason we find it so hard to believe. And it's from Isaiah 43, and it's in that great passage where he says, you know, this is what the Lord says, the one who's created you, the one who has formed you, you know, don't be afraid. And he says, when you go through the water, the rivers won't rise over you, and when you go through the fire, you won't be burned. And it's the end of that passage. Well, it's, you know, at the end of that little piece that I just love. And he says that, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And he does these things because, and he says this about us, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. Mm. And I think it's so intimate. And I'm like, that's God saying you're precious, and that's God saying you're honored in my sight. And then that just beautiful, I love you. It's so intimate. And I don't know, like, when's the last time someone has said to any of us, you are precious to me? And that's what the Lord of the universe says about us. And I just think it's so significant. And it goes to that whole kind of the gist of this book. Why not be overwhelmed by that just for, yeah, you know, for a second, or give it equal time to the other stuff that steals our attention?
Boy, this is going to be such an important conversation, truly, because what I'm praying and what we prayed for before the live show was a full paradigm shift, that this would awaken the hearts of many of our listeners, and some will just breathe a heavy sigh of relief going, I don't have to carry this. I've been looking at this all wrong. But before, so people have a little context before we dig into the depths and the content of the book. Give a little backstory on your journey, including your stint at the White House.
Well, you know, I'm in my mid-50s now, so I think when you hit this this phase of life, probably at all of them, you kind of compartmentalize where you've been in your life, like your childhood, your teen years, your college, and your, you know, early work years. And I did have some interesting opportunities kind of pepper my path. And one of them was at the White House. It was a blast. I worked in the George Herbert Walker Bush administration. And when he passed away in those beautiful funeral ceremonies, all that people said about him is the truth. He was a gracious, kind, generous man that was authentic. And it was a delight and a treat to get to work in his administration. And I traveled advanced, so I've been to every state except Alaska. And I've gotten to see a lot of parts of the world, so that was really fun. And I did work in investment banking, but, of course, the highlight of my life and that interesting turn was when I had children, and they just kept coming, Susie. One of them asked me the other day, he was like, because there is a gap between our youngest and the next one up, because I was a little old. Some of my kids were having grandchildren when I had our last one. And
wow.
He came and he said, you know, someone asked me if I was an accident. Was I an accident, Mom? And I was like, you were not an accident. You were a surprise, but you were not an accident, you know, because all of my children were surprises, the first and the last extra surprisey. But it's been a great ride.
So great. So these are all different phases of your life, all really high demands, really. I mean, over your head, I'm sure, at times. Can you think of one particular season of your life where you felt especially overwhelmed before this message sunk into your heart, where you just thought, I am not cut out for this?
Yeah, yes, and it would definitely be with my children, probably because there's nothing that I would rather do well than be able to parent my kids. And I think I didn't realize before I had children that, like, parenting was an Olympic sport that you're graded on every day.
Yeah.
And that was a surprise to me. I didn't know that there were all these things you had to do in order to measure up as a parent. And before I let go of that, realizing that my job as a parent really is to love these kids, it was very overwhelming to me, especially when you have children that hurt. And we've definitely in our world have had a kid hurt, and it's very hard to watch the suffering of your child, especially when depression is at play.
Well, that's the thing. You open your first chapter, and I don't know if this is the one you're talking about with the story about a day when your family was enjoying a cozy time by the fire. Suddenly your daughter received a text and it changed everything. Talk about that, if you will.
It did. And that really was, interestingly enough, that was a friend of hers. And we had definitely walked a similar road with one of our children, just with things that had happened to him, and had been able to start putting things into appropriate places of how to walk through it. And I don't know if we just live I think kids do live in an incredibly stressful day and age, where they can't find a place to get away from all the do's and the be's in order to be okay. And when my daughter was 14, a freshman in high school, she did get a terrible text message that still just is wrong, and it's unbelievable. And one of her friends, a delightful, wonderful young lady who was known for encouraging those who walked alongside her, gave in to the notion that it was too much, and she quit. And that to us was, to me personally, it was the straw that broke the camel's back.
It took her life.
Overwhelmed feels, you know, it does. But when it took someone's life, it just was like, we're not playing that anymore. And I was at that portion, you know, part of my life as a writer of thinking of, you know, putting together, you know, words on paper for another book. And that happened. And I was like, that's what I'm writing about, because I'm now angry. I'm angry at what it just did. It made me mad before, but now it's gone too far.
So you talked about this dear girl. I mean, it was a shock to everyone, because sometimes you can see the signs of someone who does perpetually struggle with depression and anxiety, because they can't hide it. It's just so surfaced. But there are so many more who are hiding it well. But she was part of a good, life-giving community. She would love Jesus. I mean, there were no signs really in this situation, right?
Not that they knew of. It was one of those things even, I mean, and this is their story. It's not my story, you know. But the parents reached out even to the entire grade saying, if someone knows why, would you please let us know? Because we want to know. And Yeah, we've gone back and chatted with her mother each year on the anniversary, and just tell her we haven't forgotten. Like, we miss her too. And she still will go through every iteration of, daily life, all the things that happen, and just sits there going, I don't understand, I don't understand. And I think that, sadly, the self-harm stuff that's going on and crossing that barrier to actually do something final is, at an all-time high in today's environment. And it's like, it's a shame. Is depression at play? Was depression at play? Were there more things? It likely, but no one knew that. And overwhelmed absolutely played a role in it. And that's where it's like, yes, get the help. Yes, call these things out. But as people walking alongside, there are things we can do to dial down this information that is being sold to everybody, that you have to do all and be all in order to be okay. And it's just not true. And if it was true, those things that duped us into thinking we have to hit this measuring mark, they would be the same throughout the ages, and they aren't. It's
Amen.
Like always changing. And so don't put the eggs in that basket. Live in it, but you are absolutely not of it. And that's where it was sort of like, why aren't we overwhelmed by truth? Like, why don't we think about these things that actually do define us, like the Lord determining our worth? Our worth is determined. It is not defined by an achievement, which is what society will say. And it's like, my identity isn't attached to the achievement. My identity is attached to the one who gives it to me and gave it to me from before the world began.
You know, we need to pause here for a break, but friend, maybe that's what you needed to hear today, because, here is a young girl who took her life. But as Kay says, these messages are coming at us from every angle, and if we let them in enough, pretty soon we will be overwhelmed by them. But there has to be a point where we say, you're not the boss of me. You know what? I serve a living God, and what he says is true. I'm going to put my shield of faith up. And this is how I'd love for you to chime in. And maybe we'll pray for some of you as well. What overwhelms you? What's overwhelming you right now? Be super honest, if you would. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. What's overwhelming you? Text in. If you want in on the drawing, get a few copies of Kay's book. I love this book. Email middays@myfaithradio.com, and we will be back in a moment. You're listening to an encore presentation of Middays with Suzy Larson.
I hear you say, I hear you say, look up, child. Hey.
Welcome to Middays. I'm Suzy Larson talking to my friend Kay Wills-Wyma, who's written a darn good book titled Not the Boss of Us, Putting Overwhelmed in Its Place in a Do-All, Be-All World. And we're talking about mismessaging, how the world sends us thousands of wrong messages, and if we get buried under them, if we don't ruthlessly challenge them, we will be overwhelmed by all the wrong things. And Kay is offering a paradigm shift. How about instead of being overwhelmed by image management, we become overwhelmed by image bearing? How about instead of being overwhelmed by all the stuff that we have to produce, we become overwhelmed by our God-given purpose? I want you to text in that you maybe have a comment, question for Kay, but otherwise I want to know this from you. What's overwhelming you right now? 877-933-2484. So talk about this mismessaging and the power of saying no to it.
Yeah, it's, these messages, they hit us all the time. Like, they could hit you in 5 minutes when you look on social media that could say all kinds of things. Like, especially dealing with outward appearance issues, or it could deal with even spring break coming up. A lot of people are about to hit spring break, and some people can take a vacation and some people can't. And you might see the picture of your friend's feet in front of the ocean, and it could say something to you about you. And they find that on social media, that it is so prevalent in extending a message about ourselves that we're quick to receive, rather than allowing it just to be someone enjoying their day, And I don't know if it's so prevalent now because of the internet and because of our access to information all the time, that we get to hear and see the messages up close and personal more than it was in days gone by. But it definitely is stealing from people. And there's even terms like Facebook depression and Instagram envy. And it's sort of like, if we can take those messages and put them in the right place, then it's not, those pictures aren't saying something to me about me. It's just somebody else's life. And it's like, if we can in that moment capture it, put it in the right place, then it allows us to live our day, which is the day we've got to live, and that is today. And one thing one of my kids said to me when they were little, it was our youngest, we were driving to school one day, and he turned to me and he said, "Do you know why we can't see tomorrow?" And I was like, "Why?" And he said, "Because you can only live today." And that was out of the mouth of an 11-year-old, and he's right. And so messages that come with things like expectations or worry or anxiety or fear are usually based in tomorrow. They're, you know, it's like, this is what's going to happen tomorrow. And even the messages from our past that can define me, saying you are not okay because of, or shaming messages, or all the woulds, coulds, and shoulds, today gets to be the day we live. And so it's like, respect those things, but don't let them steal or have so much ground that they actually steal out from under us the great day that we get to live.
Why, good. And you talked about earlier in the open of the show, the reality is that we have to live in the world, but we're not to live of it. And I think that takes such intentionality to go, I'm in it, but I'm not of it. In fact, you write, performance pressures are part of life. Forms are necessary, as are resumes, as are applications and business cards. Performance pressures become overwhelming, though, when we define ourselves by such things. So doing our tasks, for sure, but not letting those tasks attach to our value. How does a person separate that who's listening going, I want to do that, I don't know how?
Yeah, it's so hard. So one of the things, like going to the truth that would be fun to be overwhelmed by, is your purpose and gifting. Like your unique purpose that is literally woven within your DNA, which they're realizing now as they can study the DNA and the genome, that actually is. Every single person is gifted and purposed differently. Just like your fingerprint is different, they know that every single person on the planet has different breath and a different gait to their walk. I mean, it's incredible. And so each person is born with inborn core strengths. They're like, your giftedness isn't just like what you can do, but what makes you happy. It's like what you were born to do and what you do well. And it's inside of you because you were created to do it. And it's so special and unique, and it's exciting. And it's like, can we celebrate that for a second? And if we do that, then so many other things fall into place instead of stealing from us. And so you can live within things. Like for my kids, it's a GPA. Like that could actually be a definer because, you know, I have some in college, I have some going to college. And they may or may not be good at math. They may or may not be good at English. It's like fill in the blank. What are they good at? What are they not good at? And if they're operating out of the wheelhouse of gifted and purposing, it takes it off of us. And it puts it to the one who gave us that giftedness, who said, I see you. I know you. I hear you. I've set this into motion before the earth even began, and I'm with you. And it's like, okay, anchored in that truth that never ever moves, it actually gives us freedom to live in our wheelhouse of where we're going. And it may sound sort of Pollyannish, but it goes back to scripture, and it's the one thing that's true, like that never changes, and he never changes. And everything he says, he's faithful. He's going to do it. And it can't be put asunder because of who it is that says it. And I think that in these things that tell us we have to do all or be all in order to be okay, it's attached to things that we need. Like to be known, like to be accepted, like to be loved. And the Lord says, I love you, I accept you, you are known outside of all of this stuff. And that's where I think it dials down the messaging of the achievement on the other side, because your worth isn't defined by that.
And if we could look up and have that bigger eternal perspective, we would do our best and leave the rest. You know, if we even taught our kids that, right? I mean, look, where you think, what's your offering? This is about an offering that seeds that God multiplies. The disciples were unlearned men, some of them, who'd been with Jesus. But when we put so much weight on our performance, and if I don't do this, as if God is not somehow on the throne and his promises are deactivated because of my imperfect performance. But what if we got a hold of this, you know?
Yeah. Well, the performance stuff is a duping, because it really is. It's like whatever it is of this day and age, it wasn't 10 years ago. When I was in graduate school getting my MBA, it was, I could tell you that the companies that were on the cover of Forbes and Money Magazine or the Wall Street Journal every day, most people haven't even heard of those companies because they aren't the ones that are celebrated anymore. Hmm. Those, when I was in business school getting, you know, people were learning languages. The languages that people were learning there are no longer the languages that people are learning now because it's a different set of circumstances. And it's sort of like, if it was true and if that was the measuring mark, if that was the performance level, those it still would be today. And that's where these things change and they shift. And you can even do it in your own life. Like, so you could look back to, like, when you were a kid, you know, in high school. It was like, what was the end-all, be-all? You know, was it somebody asking you out on a date? Was it going to the prom? Was it driving a certain car? And you can look back now and go, that's so silly. I can't believe I thought about that so long. Well, it's like, what is stealing your thoughts today? Because in 5 years from now, you're going to look back and go, I can't believe I let that steal so much of my time. Hmm. And it's like, that's where perspective is so powerful. And it is really hard to get it ourselves. And so it's like we walk alongside each other for a reason, because we can actually help each other and go, don't let that steal from you. Let me remind you who you are. And Susie, I watch my kids, that daughter that lost her friend. Well, let me tell you, it was a battle for her that whole year to come to the truth of who she is. And to watch that child as a teenager walk the halls and fight for her friends, and in the midst of whatever sucking them down, to be able to say, that doesn't define you. Let me remind you who you are. And she finds very real things about who they are as a human being and says, I know you. You make people smile because when you say this, we laugh. Or whatever it is, you've got great style. Or I see where you're phenomenal in this. And she breathes life into them going, let me remind you about you because you've forgotten and let something else define you that's not true.
This is a teenager who had a friend commit suicide. And what if, Kay, we did this for each other to say, this is who you are. That's not who you are. We need to start calling each other up and calling the blessing right out of each other, because that makes all the difference. And you hear so many stories. I've interviewed so many people who were heading down one way, a path that was destructive. And one person had the guts to do something like that, say something, and it changed the whole trajectory of their lives. I mean, that really, there is life and death in the power of the tongue, isn't there?
It is, and the coolest thing about it is that you get to hear it too.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't tell you how many times, like even talking today, I guarantee you I need to hear this and go, oh, yeah, because maybe I was being weighed down on something today saying, well, you have to be doing this in order to be okay. And it's like, hold on a second, I've forgotten whose I am. And it's like, you're a daughter of the king, like the king of the
universe.
Come
on. That's amazing.
You know, it's like, why would we forget that? And it's like, and maybe we do all the time, okay? Maybe that's part of being on this planet. But if we could just give it equal time, or even any time during the day, and for sure give it to each other, and for Pete's sake, to your kids and your friends that are walking alongside, it's a life giver for sure, and it's truth.
We've got texts coming in. I want to hear from you, and I'll read some of those when we come back from the break. 877-933-2484. Talking to Kay Wills-Wyma, title of her book, Not the Boss of Us, Putting Overwhelmed in Its Place in a Do-All, Be-All World. A few copies to get into your hands. Email to get in on the drawing, middays@myfaithradio.com, and we will be back in a minute. An encore presentation of Middays with Susie Larson.
Keeps reminding me, I see you in every little thing all day.
Sorry, love that song. Thanks for tuning into Middays. I'm Susie Larson, talking to my friend Kay Wills-Wyma. I love this woman. What a sharp gal, and what she has to say, we need to hear. Title of her book, Not the Boss of Us, Putting Overwhelmed in Its Place in a Do-All, Be-All World. And one of the things that she'd said before the break was, whatever target, the performance target you have to make to be okay, you need that house, that title, that achievement. Well, guess what? 5-10 years, that marker will have moved. And in fact, it may be just obliterated altogether. And you think of all of the potentially joy-filled moments you missed because you are trying to hit a target that's a moving target, not set by God anyway. We've got to be tethered to God. We are tethered to Him and to His truth. I want you to text in and tell me what overwhelms you and just some thoughts as Kay continues to unpack the content from this book. Here's the number, 877 933 2484, this dear listener says, so many people around me are walking through dark times, marriage struggles, mental health struggles, ministry struggles. I want to walk through them with these valleys with them, but it's hard not to get sucked into the darkness myself. The command to bear one another's burdens can be overwhelming. And I just pray God gives you wisdom about to discern when to, you know, walk alongside and when to put your own oxygen mask on and nurse your soul. Lori writes in, I want to do what God wants me to do instead of what other people say I should do. That is breaking free from the fear of man. And Barbara writes, and I'm currently feeling overwhelmed by a situation concerning our oldest son who has a hearing loss. He's a believer, but not a follower. He's doing very well in his career and lives out of state, but we have recently found out he's being physically abused by his girlfriend. They have a baby together. Lawyers and judges are involved, trying daily not to be overwhelmed. Oh, Barbara. Wow, hon. That's very painful. Carissa battles health issues. Just a couple more here. And just feeling like she's overwhelmed by the debt, everything. And she says, I miss the days before social media and the internet when we could enjoy books and simple things much more easily. We seem to be a bit more present with each other than we are in this day. Yeah. And Lucy said, enter me for the book. She thinks it sounds like a good one. I think the verse applies to your conversation. This listener says that do not love the world nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not love the Father. For the world offers only a craving, so good, for physical pleasure, for everything we see, the pride of our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are of the world. Well, that pretty much sums it up, doesn't it? What do you say, Kay?
Yeah, it does. And the beauty part of that is that he gives in fullness. And I think that's why, okay, so when he says don't do these things of the world, because even as you hit the list, don't do this, you know, even in the anxiety or the sins or the suffering, all those kinds of things, it's like I feel like the Lord is saying don't buy those messages because you don't have to. It's like it's not in a shame on you, don't do that, you know, how dare you, buck up. You know, it's like you don't have to do that because you aren't an object. You are precious. You are worthy. You are loved. Our name is sought after according to him. And so it's like, what does that look like in this world? And how do we really sink into it and believe it? Because to me, that's the hardest part is believing it. Like, it doesn't feel that way. And I think that goes into this aspect of leaning into what you can't see. And the power and the strength that does not come from us, because he himself says, I clothe you in strength, in my steadfast and wondrous love. And so I think it's that exiting the things that we see, grabbing hold of the things that we don't see, because those are the actual things that we can be certain of, because that's where the eternal perspective comes into play. And First Peter is so great about Peter, gosh, across the board is great about talking about this stuff, the suffering, the hardship. He lived it. In the presence of Christ, he lived it. And so he has a great way to be able to say, these things in the world, they steal from you. The Lord above does not. He gives graciously and abundantly. And in, you know, beginning of his book, you know, grace and peace to you in abundance. And the thing about grace is that it doesn't involve performance. It just doesn't. It's not a part of grace. And on the other side of that is peace. And then he says, in abundance. What does that look like in the midst of these hardships? It's a challenge. And I sit there and think of the suffering with a child. I mean, we live that, and it can make your days long. And I've noticed for me personally, just a little, you know, thing that helps me, and you know, when I wake up in the middle of the night and those feelings start to flood in and it's hard to breathe, because I think overwhelmed is a feeling. It feels like you've lost your breath, like it feels like you're drowning physically. And to be able to call it out and say, you know, I'm definitely feeling this way. If you have someone next to you that you can actually call it out in person, that's a safe place to be able to talk. It's like the first thing to do is call it out. I'm overwhelmed. Like I am, something in my world is giving me a message saying that I'm not okay. Things are not okay. And then literally, if it's in the middle of the night, I'm like, Lord, somehow I've put this on my plate. Somehow I've assumed that I'm in control of all of this, and something I've done or not done is going to actually determine someone's life, you know, in a good or a bad way. And then I start calling out who he is, like literally. I know that your name is Jehovah Jireh, which means that you are the provider, which means that you are a manna provider. And you put that in scripture to show us what manna provision looks like. And that is perfect sustenance every single day, but just for today. It's today's sustenance. And so I can rest and believe in a surety that you are Jehovah Jireh. I know that your name is Jehovah Ra, which means that you are the shepherd. And you are the shepherd that sees me. You are the shepherd that knows my name. You are the one that you yourself say, I'm going after the one. I know all of them. I see you. I know you. His name is Jehovah Roy. To be seen. Hagar is the one that said that. Someone that was abused, that ran away and left, pregnant. And she went into the desert to die. And he said, I see you. She's the only one that said his name. Someone that looked discardable was not discardable. Because he, the Lord who sees, allowed her to speak that name. No one else said that name out loud except her. Then will I allow that to apply to me? Because I know he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because he says that. And allow it to sink into and wash over me. And I'm telling you, Susie, it's like at that point you start to breathe. And it's like, okay, I can breathe a little bit now. Because I've put all of this in your lap. And he is the living hope. He is the living stone. And that's where this eternal perspective is so helpful. And I'll sit there and go, in heaven, there are no would, coulds, or shoulds. In heaven, there's no shame. In heaven, there's no more tears. Oh, yeah, he knows all my tears. I don't even know all my tears. If I'm crying, it's a stream. I don't have any idea how many tears there are. He does. He knows every single one and holds them. Anyway.
I could listen to you all day, Kay. What you're saying is so powerful. You know, as you're talking and thinking of how Scripture says it's living, the Word of God is living, active,
yes,
and powerful, and that translates efficient and life-giving and powerful. And you think when you're overwhelmed, that's one kind of power, and you, like you said, it's almost on your chest and you can't breathe. But a whole different power altogether when you start to proclaim who God is out loud.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, into the atmosphere so your ears hear it. It is a pushback,
yeah,
that's unlike anything else, isn't it?
Well, it's life-giving. It,
yeah,
gives life. It doesn't take it.
Yeah.
And I think that's why he's continually going, hey, come to me. And I'm not saying, if you don't come, I'm not going to love you. You know, it's like, come to me because there's life. I give life. I am light. His name is life. He spoke life into existence, and he did it knowing full well what he was going to have to pay to do that because he loves you. My word, that's where it's like, can we just for a second, I don't know why we don't sit here together all the time and go, hey, let me remind you, you are so loved. Do you know how loved you are? Let me tell you how loved you are. And like sit there and marinate and just kind of rest in and linger in truth because it is beautiful. And I really do think that when we do that and actually receive it, you talk about like you walk out even with heaviness on us because he is life, we can walk out with a stature because it's not our stature. And I'm telling you, it's that whole look up. You played the Lauren Daigle song a second ago, Look Up. And it's like if you look up, it gets your eyes off of whatever is in the moment, allows you to see the bigger picture, which let's just go ahead and say, he puts it out there for us in nature all day, every day. And with our eyes up, it gets our eyes off the situation, and we just might see someone next to us who could use a kind word, who could use hearing their name, because sacred happens in those moments, and it's beautiful.
Boy. One of your chapters is, rather than be overwhelmed by appearance pressures, be overwhelmed by beauty. Speak to that person who is overwhelmed by appearance pressures. They know it. They put all kinds of stress, strain, money into,
yeah,
you know, and there's nothing wrong with a good, you know, palette of makeup and a cute outfit. But when it's a driving force that you must have to cover up whatever, there it just drives you further into captivity. So what word of encouragement would you have for that person?
Well, and should we call out that it is about to be March and we're all probably going to have to buy a swimsuit because that's the worst.
Like,
a swimsuit is the worst. But here's the deal. We could let a number on a tag mess with our thoughts, and it's like, don't do it. Just don't. It is a number on a piece of paper. I had a friend go in the other day to buy an outfit for something she had to go to, like a dress. She needed a dress. When she went into the dressing rooms, a gal helped her and brought in three outfits for her. One was a size 6. One was a size 10, and one was a size 2, and they all fit her.
Wow.
And it's like, I know. And it's like, okay, because the size 10 could mess with her. you know, and she could walk out really bummed, thinking, you know, I've got to go on a diet, I've got to do something, what's happened to me? And it's sort of like, no, it's a number on a piece of paper. And it's sort of like fill in the blank on your business card. It is a piece of paper with ink on it. Are we really going to let that say something to us about ourselves in such a negative way? We're so quick to receive the negative. And so then it's like, put that stuff in its place. If you need to exercise and you need to get in a place where you're healthy, do it because you are a steward over your body, not because a size is going to determine your worth. And that's a big difference. One of my kids likes to run. She exercises and likes to run. I like to run. I never run in my life, like not thinking about, well, I've got to run for 20 minutes or I've got to go longer this time. It was always a competitive thing for me because I just didn't really know any different. That kid went out and ran for an hour, came home, and I was like, wow, she was gone. You know, I'm like, how did you do that? And then she started to explain to me her exercise routine. And she was like, yeah, I went out. I walked for 3 blocks, and then I started running, and then I went down the street. I passed the Williams house, and I thought, I'm going to pray for the Williams. So she stopped and prayed in front of their house. And then there was a cute old couple in front of her, and she was like, so then I just lingered behind them and watched them because they were so cute. And then she was like, and then I made my way. I ran into the park, and I laid down right in the middle of it, and I just looked up at the sky. And I'm sitting there going, her exercise is like church, you know?
Yeah.
Mine is a drive. And I looked at her and thought, yeah, I would like to exercise like that. Because that's like a beautiful experience of just enjoying who she is, going outside to be healthy, not to be somebody. And then that constant, because she, you know, we fight for her thoughts together on that. And it's just, let's walk it together, put it in its place, call it out, and start to breathe together.
I love it. We're going to take our final break here. This is what I want you to chime in now, friends. Talk to me about this and be honest with me. What kind of friend are you to yourself? How easy or difficult is it to extend grace to yourself? Are you as kind to yourself as you are to strangers? I would love to know the truth about that. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Text in your answer. Talking to Kay Wills Wyma. Got a few copies of her book, Not the Boss of Us, Putting Overwhelmed in Its Place, Where It Belongs, in a do-all, be-all world. Email if you want in on the drawing, middays at myfaithradio.com. We'll be back in a minute. We're listening to an encore presentation of Middays with Susie Larson. Day. That's another one I absolutely love. Thanks for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. I picked that song. Why? Because there's times when you're completely overwhelmed. One of the best things you can do is crank on a song like that by Mercy Me, Get Up, and do a happy dance. Because really, you're not bound to those things. You're tethered to a very good God. Talking to Kay Wills Wyma today about her amazing book, Not the Boss of Us, Putting Overwhelmed in Its Place in a Do-All, Be-All World. And I love this. You said, maybe this is the place we need to start. Being kind, gentle, and grace-oriented with ourselves, steering clear of the pressures we place on ourselves. Maybe then we can be overwhelmed by our own unique gifting and purpose rather than bowing under the pressures of performance. What does it look like, Kay, to be kind to yourself, to actually become a friend to yourself?
Why is it so hard?
Right.
It seems to be, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It is so easy for us to be able to accept others, and it is so hard for ourselves. In fact, that outward beauty one, you know, Dove has done some really great inroads in as far as being kind to yourself. And they did a study just, you know, with women across all nations. I think they went to 64 different countries and interviewed women. And the percentage, it was like, I think it was 80 or in the 90 percentile range that said that they could see beauty in other women. But it was very low percentage of people that could see beauty in themselves. And it's like, if we're quick to recognize it in somebody else, why aren't we as quick to recognize it in ourselves? And maybe part of it is picking a few things to be able to go, okay, so this I really do enjoy and I'm good at, you know. For some, it could, and part of it probably tracks with what your natural giftedness is, you know. But we will, as women especially, downplay that. I have a great friend who's unbelievable at hosting people in her home. And one day I was like, you have such a great, beautiful gift of hospitality. And she's like, oh, no, I'm terrible at that. And I was like, hold on a second. You're great at it. You allow people walk into your world and they feel loved and they feel seen and they feel known and they're celebrated. And it was like to allow her to sink into it being okay that she's good at that was hard for her to do. And that's where I think it's important. And I think we have to have each other to be able to help us see those things that we're naturally gifted at and then not let each other tear ourselves down because we're really quick at that. And I think in order to start the process, we have to be willing to say, I didn't make this stuff up. The Lord wove this within me, you know? And I think maybe in that way, being able to give credit where credit is due, and that is the Creator who absolutely thinks you're beautiful. And we can go to Scripture for that, you know? He says, I don't look at the outward appearance the way that man does. I look at the heart. And he cares so desperately for that, and he even is the one who transforms it. And to be able to sink into that is much more an act of worship of him versus us. And it's beyond going to some place of pride, which maybe that's what we think, and maybe that's the trip up. And it's like we could be more prideful thinking negatively about ourselves than we ever could probably be thinking positively about ourselves. And it's like the whole key is to not be thinking about ourselves, but to be able to have free thoughts to be able to see others around us.
Wow, beautiful. I'm going to read a Henry Nouwen quote that you reference in your book and listen to this, friends. So powerful. Henry writes, you have to keep unmasking the world about you for what it is. Hear that again. You have to keep unmasking the world about you for what it is. Manipulative, controlling, power hungry, and in the long run, destructive. The world tells you many lies about who you are, and you simply have to be realistic enough to remind yourself of this. Every time you feel hurt, offended, or rejected, you have to dare to say to yourself, these feelings, strong as they may be, are not telling me the truth about myself. The truth, even though I cannot feel it right now, is that I'm the chosen child of God, precious in God's eyes, called the beloved from all eternity and held safe in his everlasting embrace. And what I love about this, Kay, is the reality is there are times man rejects you. There are times you don't get invited to the committee or to the event, or you get rejected when you've made an application, whatever. There are times when you're rejected by man, but you're never rejected by God. Say a word, if you would, to that person listening today, in light of what Henry just wrote here. I mean, it's so much bigger than our minds and hearts can fathom.
Yeah, and to be able to just that prayer, please, Lord, help me be able to receive the fact that you see me as beloved. And there's freedom that comes with that. So that the things that look like rejections, that feel like rejection in the world, take their place, and that is on the back burner because acceptance has been bestowed upon you, upon me. And there was a great price that was paid for that was so significant, and it was lovingly paid. And it was paid where he looked on it, on us, with joy as he did it because he loves us. And so it's like, please help me receive that, because it really is in the receiving it that you're able to let the rejections and not being on a committee be able to be something where you go, where trust enters the realm, where you can say, I trust you. I don't know about all the other stuff, but there's one place that is safe, and that is planted on the rock that never moves. And he himself calls himself rock. He is safe. And so you sit there in that safety going, I trust you. If this didn't work out the way that I thought it was going to be, I trust you because your name is Redeemer. He also redeems. And so it's like the stuff of the past, he is Redeemer. The stuff in the future, he is Redeemer. He says, I'm the one. It's in my strength. Come and rest. You know, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. If it's feeling heavy and it's not feeling easy, somehow I'm carrying that myself. You know,
go ahead. I was just going to say, and I'm quite sure you'd agree with this, but at this point in my life, looking back at the times where maybe I wasn't included in something, I look back over my shoulder. One, God knew it was ahead down the path and knew that wouldn't have fit in the schedule. Two, it wasn't what I thought it was. Or three, he had something better for me. But in every situation, 100% of the time, he's proven to be a loving, invested Heavenly Father, much like a parent would say to their child, you don't get it now, but I have reasons why you can't do this. But his reasons are always good, aren't they?
Yeah, and he's safe. Like, he's okay. He's got it. He redeems it no matter what. So it's like, it turns down the volume on the other stuff. And it's in the volume turning down that I think you can enjoy being included or not being included. I mean, it's just, I think that's why he says, you know, Paul, I know the secret of being content, whether in plenty or rather in want, because the plenty can dupe us as much as the want does. And it's like, I've learned the secret. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, which I know we know that verse. And it's like, before we just pass over it, let it sink in for a minute. You know, it's like, I can do all things through, which is the operative word, through, which I think that's where the grace and peace comes in. It's sort of like, it is my power. It's my strength. I've got you covered. I go before you. I go behind you. I go above you and below you. I've hemmed you in. You're safe. And it's sort of like, okay, because you are beloved. Thank you, Henry Nouwen, who, I mean, if you don't know Henry Nouwen, he struggled in life. It was hard for him. And he had to wrestle to land at that place to be able to receive beloved. I mean, it's like today, if you have a name tag in your house, anywhere that you go, pick up a name tag and write on it, daughter of the king, son of the king, beloved, sought after, you pick. Put it on there, put it on the visor of your car, put it on your mirror so that you can see it every day to be reminded whose you are, who the one who has determined your worth that calls you those names.
And as you do that, because we are forgetters, we have air amnesia on a regular basis, you know, but when we start to affirm who we are, something changes in us from the inside out. I mean, don't you feel like you start to love your actual life? I like how you said even turn the volume down. This is loud stuff that's coming at us. Turn the volume down. I'm not listening to that. I'm going to listen to the voice of the one who loves me. I mean, you seem like someone, Kay, who you seem so comfortable in your own skin, and you also just, you've got a full plate, and you're so honest about your full plate that spills over sometimes, and you seem to just enjoy your actual life. And I think that brings joy to the Father's heart. That's what he wants for all of us, isn't it?
I think it is, and I think it goes to the action point of faith. Like, having faith is, you can have it in our head. Like, I can know and go, yes, faith is being sure of what you know, what isn't seen, sure of what you hope for. And it's sort of like, but the difference between knowing those words and actually using it is trust and obedience. I think that's why he said obedience is better than sacrifice, because you're actually stepping on and going, well, I'm going to believe you, even though it doesn't look right. Like, this doesn't look right to me, but I am going to believe you, because you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. It is with absolute certainty. You can say that he has authority and dominion over everything, like everything. And then it really does dial down even the volume on the news stations that will blast at us today, that might text you and say, this is what is going on, and be able to put it, you know, dial down the volume and just maybe even see the people that are next to you. You know, people matter. And I think it's really hard to even walk alongside and allow people to matter. Like, the human individual that may agree or disagree with you today, they matter and they are precious. And is there something we can do to encourage them today? Because the crazy thing that happens when you do that, it's this beautiful thing of giving. When he says love others, he says love others because it gives us life.
Well, this is so good, Kay. I'm going to pause. I'm going to pray, since we're wrapping up on the clock here, and you'd be flying blind if I asked you to pray. But Father, I thank you for Kay, first of all, just the blessing of this message. I pray for that one listening today who's in the valley of the shadow, who feels cut off, feels rejected, feels cast out. I pray that they would hear you say, you are my beloved. I am the God who sees you. It won't always be this way. I pray you bring healing. I pray you bring breakthrough. And best of all, I pray you bring the truth that sets captives free. Lord, we love you. We thank you for all that you did, all that you apprehended for us. Help us to walk it out like it's true, because it is true. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you've been listening to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. I pray you found some encouragement here today. Always an honor to serve with you and encourage you from day to day. Thanks so much for tuning in today. And I have to give a shout out to my amazing producers, Kim and Carissa, who make every day brighter, every show better. Appreciate you girls so very much. We couldn't do this without you. And thank you, my dear listener, for tuning in. Again, hope you found some encouragement here. Tune in tomorrow for Middays, noon Central Standard Time, or catch the podcast after the fact on your podcast player, on iTunes, or on the web at myfaithradio.com. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this Middays with Susie Larson podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of Middays with Susie Larson.